right, take your Bibles tonight, turn to Galatians chapter number 6. Galatians chapter number 6 this evening. I did forget one announcement, Soldier Meal on Sunday. So we're excited about that and looking forward to the first one of 2021. So invite your friends to come for all of our military people. Invite your friends to come. Invite your soldiers to come. Single, married, doesn't matter. But if you're having a big crowd come, make sure you let us know so we have enough food prepared. But do invite those. As I mentioned, on Sunday, it's a great outreach opportunity. Many times they won't come maybe for a Bible study. They won't come for a special service. But they'll come for food. And they come and hear the gospel. So I always try and preach the gospel, at least work it into my message on those Sundays. And we've seen a good number of, over the years, a good number of soldiers get saved that way. So looking forward to that this year. And it's just a good time of fellowship as well. And as Baptists, we always love food. Amen. So Galatians chapter 6 tonight. So the message tonight is a bit of a follow-on from last Wednesday. So last Wednesday, we looked at how God is the God of reconciliation. I'm on. Is it on, Brother Coe? I'm on. Okay, it sounds like I'm on. Okay? Everybody can hear me? Good. All right. So we looked at last week that God is the God of reconciliation and how we have been given the ministry of reconciliation and the word of reconciliation. And in the Bible, we saw the examples, three examples, how God is reaches out to us. And if we really think back, is that's exactly how we got saved. God was offering reconciliation to us, offering us forgiveness for our sin. Aren't you glad of that? Amen. Praise the Lord for that. But there were some questions about this, and so I've decided to do a follow-on to this of how are we to be God's instruments of reconciliation? How are we to do that? What is the practical side of that? And I appreciate questions like that. Because as your pastor, that helps me to help you. So tonight we're going to be in Galatians chapter 6, in verses 1 through 3 tonight. We're going to be in a lot of different places. But how do we do this? How do we go to somebody? How do we reconcile a relationship? Of course, we know in soul winning we're to go and reconcile people to God through the gospel. That's how we have peace with God through Jesus Christ. But in the practical sense, we know to do that, but what if there is a strain in a relationship? What if someone has been injured or hurt? We talked about that Sunday morning. How do we help these people? Well, we're going to look at some tools tonight, three tools specifically, in the tools of reconciliation. If we could stand out of respect for the reading of the Word of God, Galatians chapter number 6. Galatians chapter number 6, beginning in verse number 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. Let's pray and ask the Lord's blessing tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you would guide and direct our time here in your word, that you would speak to our hearts, dear Lord, as we earnestly desire to be tools in your hands. And I pray that tonight you would show us the tools that you use in our hearts and our lives to bring us to this place of service to others. And I pray that you would guide and direct us as we think of maybe examples or situations that we're faced with, Lord, and that you would point us to exactly the right application and the exact right way to say things, the exact right way to do things. Dear Lord, you desire to give us a plan. And I pray that we would be open to it tonight. We pray that you would speak to our hearts, encourage us, dear Lord, and equip us to go forward in service to you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Message entitled tonight, The Tools of Reconciliation. So we know reconciliation is bringing two parties that are at odds with one another back into fellowship, back into a right relationship. Before we were saved, we were not right with God. We were not reconciled to God, and the whole plan of God since Genesis has been, ever since the fall, that God wanted to be in fellowship with man, but due to man's disobedience required reconciliation. And through Jesus Christ, we can have forgiveness and a reconciling of that relationship. And as Christians, we have been reconciled to God, and now we also have to work on a daily basis to make sure that our relationships stay reconciled to God. I'm not talking about retaining our salvation, but retaining our fellowship with God.
And there are times that we maybe get into a willful place, or maybe we get in a place where we have backslidden away from God. And during times of revival and during times where God really works in our life, we become reconciled in fellowship to God again. But we see here in Galatians chapter number 6, and Galatians deals with walking in the Spirit, the flesh versus the Spirit, doing things in a fleshly way versus doing it the way God desires of us in the power of the Holy Spirit. So really what Galatians chapter 6 is the result of the Spirit-filled life, is the result. If you are walking in the Spirit, your desire is going to be the hands and feet and the mouthpiece of God. Amen. If we really want to please God, and when we are pleasing Him, and when we are walking with Him, we're going to want to be used in this way. And so tonight, we're going to look at the tools that God uses in our life to reach other people. Now, we're going to be talking about some things here tonight, a couple different groups of people. As I said, I don't want to overly categorize people, but I think this will help you understand where we're going to be talking in some different areas tonight. Many people we are trying to reconcile to Christ and His church are in one or more of these situations, okay? The first being those who have fallen into sin, and that's what this passage is talking about in Galatians 6:1, that if a brother, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you can also apply it here to a woman as well. So the idea is here, a brother or sister in Christ has fallen into sin. It is our job as God's people in this place, in this house, it doesn't even matter if they go to church here or not, to go to them and to seek them to be reconciled to God. Go and encourage them. Go and say, well, they'll figure it out. No, a lot of people go by the wayside because everybody said, it's not my job. Instead of going to somebody, not wagging your finger and saying, how dare you do this, but God forgives, God wants to use you, and God wants to lift you up out of the pit that you're in. That's Psalm 40. That's what our job is. And that's the situation being talked about here. But there's other situations that we face, isn't there? There's other situations. There's maybe relationships that need to be reconciled and things like that. And so that comes to this place, the second group, those who have been injured, okay? Either by real or supposed injuries. Now, I say that a lot because sometimes people become injured, and when it's not a real injury, okay? But here's the thing we have, and we many times will dismiss it out of hand. Well, that wasn't a real thing. Remember, it's real to them. It's real to them. And I'm going to deal with this more in just a moment. And so maybe through misinterpretation, they misinterpreted something. Anybody that's preached any length of time has run into that, that someone misinterprets something that was preached from the pulpit or said from the pulpit, and people can get hurt by that. Maybe through misconception, they looked at something and they saw maybe something that wasn't intended. Through misinformation, right? They heard from somebody, heard from somebody else about this situation, and they get injured and hurt because of misinformation. I could go on, but I think that helps us understand what we're talking about here. I'm going to be talking more tonight about the second group than I am the first, okay? Because I think, to be honest, dealing with someone that has fallen into sin and lifting up, encouraging them is almost easier than dealing with the second group. Dealing with the second group can get complicated. And by the way, I am not going to cover every situation, every variable in these things, but I'm going to give you some guidelines and give you some tools that will help you that we see given in Galatians chapter 6. So let's look at tool number one tonight of the tools of reconciliation. Tool number one is humility. Let's look here in verse number 6, that we're to restore such an one, or sorry, chapter 6, verse 1, that we're to restore such an one in the spirit of what? Of what? Meekness, absolutely. Meekness, humility. Why? Considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. None of us in here tonight is above falling into sin. None of us in here, every single person here has the same capacity and capability to sin. We look at some people and say, well, how could they be such a terrible person because they do these terrible things? Every person has that capability of doing that. Well, our nature is that flawed, that depraved, and that twisted. Now, when we look at these situations and we see somebody, how some people get injured, either when they fall into sin or maybe there's a situation that happens, is pride is the number one thing that injures people. Only by pride cometh contention. And guess what? Every single person in here, including me, we always have to deal with our pride. We have to keep our pride under the power of the Holy Spirit because there are things that maybe don't seem important to us. And someone has become injured over something that wasn't important to us but was important to them. And we did not take their concern seriously. We could go on with different variables of this. But God gives us a warning in Romans chapter 12. Let's turn over there. Romans chapter 12, the first three verses, that when we surrender our life to Christ in service, that when we are walking with God, this is a strange byproduct that can happen. And it was interesting that Brother Bosler kind of talked about this during revival last year, in that when we're surrendered to God and we're serving God and God is using us, one of the byproducts that can happen in our flesh is we get proud of ourselves, that we're doing the right, that we're being used of God. And by the way, it's not because of us that things are going on. It's because of God's power in our life. But as time goes on, we can say, because we've made the decision, because we're doing right, that we can become, it can be a tendency, a temptation for us to be proud of ourselves. That's why God puts this warning in here in Romans 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove was that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. So what's he talking about here? Is that God has given him the grace and God has given them spiritual empowerment in that it's not about you. So what does this have to do with what we're talking about? Well, maybe you've been serving God for a while, and maybe you've dealt with a lot of situations, and you come into a familiar type of situation, a familiar type of reconciling situation. You say, I've got this. I know exactly what to say. When we get to the place that I've got this, that is where we can become more, we can become a problem instead of a help. We need to make sure that we're following the Word of God and following in humility. Lord, this is your work, not mine. But if we're to be the ministers of reconciliation, turn over there, 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. Let's do a little review from last week. 2 Corinthians 5 and verses 18 and 19. That we've been giving the ministry and the word of reconciliation. And all things are of God. Amen. That's what we just talked about. All things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. So what is the example that we're given in the scriptures of humility? Look at Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. All right, don't worry. After this passage, we're going to stop turning here for a minute, laying a little bit of groundwork here for a moment, then we're going to get into the application. Philippians 2, verses 1 through 13, gives us the mind. Be of one accord and one mind. Verse 1, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, any comfort of love, and any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God and Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Humility. It's about God's work. It's about having the mind and thinking of Christ. So what would this humility lead us to do? If we're to have the mind of Christ, and if we have the Holy Spirit, we're going to have the mind of Christ, but only if we have understanding that the job of reconciliation is not about us. It's about being God's instrument in somebody's life. And when we look at, well, God will bring him to himself, oh, God's going to take care of that, and I don't need to do anything. That can be a temptation to think that way. God uses people. God uses people. God uses people to reconcile people. So what will this humility lead us to do? The one thing, if there's a hurt, now we're talking with an area for someone has been injured or has been upset, what is the first thing that's going to lead us to do? Number one is apologize. Apologize. But I didn't do anything. Doesn't matter. Apologize. You know that goes a long way with people? I can't tell you, Pastor Harvey can say the same thing. How many times as a pastor I've had to apologize when I didn't do anything? But is that saying, well, I didn't do anything, therefore I don't need to apologize? What is that? That's pride. That's pride. And be willing to say, I'm sorry. You know, as someone said, well, you did this or you said this. There is a real or supposed injury. So while I'm not going to apologize for a fake injury, just say, well, I'm sorry that you were offended and that you were hurt by that. I apologize for that. Apologize. Be humble about it. Because we don't always do everything right. We don't always say everything right. Well, that's not what I intended. Remember what I said about misinterpretation? Well, that's not what I meant. And you know what? I'm sorry that I said it in a way where it was misinterpreted. Forgive me for that. That's humility. That goes a long way. I think probably 90% of church problems in churches across the country could be solved by, I'm sorry. Man, I'm sorry. Admit that you didn't do everything right. Because, well, I didn't do anything. And maybe you didn't. But just say, I'm sorry. I made a mistake there. Will you forgive me? Now, one thing, don't apologize for the truth. If someone's offended in the truth of the Bible, don't apologize for that. Don't make excuses for the Bible. I preach things at different times, and maybe I didn't say it in the nicest way or in the most kindest way, but it was still true. People came to me after and said, that offended me because a family member is like that, or he mentioned this group of people, and one of my family members is one of those, and that really offended me. And I tell people this, I'm sorry that you were offended. Maybe I didn't say it the nicest. However, I'm not going to apologize for what is the truth. The Bible says this, and I'm not apologizing for that, but I'm sorry I presented in a way that offended. If I wasn't the kindest, I apologize for that. And most of the time, people say, well, that I appreciate that. You know what? A lot of the world has portrayed the world of preachers as that we're an arrogant lot that won't ever say sorry. But there are times when we really didn't do anything, and there's nothing that can be done. Most always have in our minds that we are trying to heal rifts between people or between people in the church. Sometimes people know that what they're holding on to is silly and petty. They know it is. But they will not let it go of it until someone comes to them. Well, they're the one that needs to repent of their pride. That's what we'd like to think. Well, they're the ones that, yeah, we understand that. But will you hold the key through humility to say, I'm sorry, and unlock the door. When they know that they're wrong, and you know what they do? Say, you know what, I've been holding on to this, and you know what, I'm so glad that you said sorry. You know what, I really shouldn't have been holding on to this, and it's pretty silly. I'm sorry. See what I'm saying? You unlock the door. You open the gate for reconciliation through humility. And that person can decide to walk through it or can decide to say, well, I don't want any part of it. And guess what? Then when that person comes, they are so glad that they got those things right. Whenever we are dealing with people inside or outside the church, humility is required to keep and nurture relationships, right? in our families, a husband and wife, you need to have humility with children. You have to have humility. Children with parents have to have humility. Humility is needed. Why? Because we make mistakes. We're sinful creatures. We make mistakes. So that's tool number one. Second tool is compassion. Compassion. This is another key ingredient that you must care about the problems of other people. Jude 22, turn over there. Jude, it's so easy to live in our little bubble. It's so easy to deal with all of our issues and our problems. I'm not belittling anybody's issues or problems, but sometimes we get so focused on them that we forget about that other people have problems, that other people have needs. Jude, verse 22, and some have compassion, making a difference, right? Having compassion makes a difference. The word compassion has the idea of not just empathy, but compassion is an action word in that it's going to lead you, you care so deeply about something, it's going to spur you to action. Jesus many times was moved with compassion. Whenever you see that, he does something right after. He does something to help. He is moved with compassion. And if we have the mind and the heart of Christ, we will be moved with people's troubles, with people's problems, with people that have had issues. You know, the Bible says, blessed are the peacemakers. Amen. We're all Christians, not just some people. We say, well, you have the gift of peacemaking. Some people have that gift. Some people have that as a spiritual gift, that they are seek people reconciled to one another. Okay, some of us have a gift in that. But all of us ought to strive to be peacemakers. It's not just a couple people's job, it's all of our jobs. Now, we can go overboard in the area of compassion, though. We can, I'll warn this here. What I mean by overboard is that you take upon we take upon ourselves the problems of others along with our own and overwhelm ourselves. Okay? We need to care about other people's problems, but we can't live people's lives for them. Okay? Trust me, we have enough troubles and problems. We can care, and we need to care, and it's okay to shed tears. It's okay to be burdened, but don't let it overwhelm your life either. Some people have such a deep level of empathy for people that they can feel the emotional pain that other people are feeling. And you got to be careful with that. You dive in too deep, and that you can really overwhelm yourself. But at the same time, well, that's why I just kind of keep my distance. No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying we need to have a balance there, and we need to care about other people. Look back at Galatians chapter number 6. We were just over there. And that is very, very clear, a command of God, not just in Galatians chapter 6, but in other places, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ, verse number 2. Bear ye one another's burdens. Guess what? When someone falls, you never wonder that word fall, they fall into a pit, guess what? Also, they fall under the burden of temptation and burden of their own sin. We see Pilgrim's Progress. That's why Christian had that burden. When he got saved at the cross, that burden fell away. But at times we decide to pick up the weights, as Paul talked about, the weights of the sin which does so easily beset us, and we can fall. And guess what? We need someone to help bear our burden. Aren't you so glad when someone comes alongside and says, I'm praying for you? Said, I've been praying for you. Is there anything that you need? I've been really praying for you. And maybe it's a situation that they know about. Maybe it's something that they don't know about, but God, through His Holy Spirit, leads them to you, and they encourage you. Oh, man, that really charges your battery, doesn't it, when that happens? It's so refreshing to have that, to know that somebody cares, because the devil drives into some people's heads every single day, no one cares about you. Maybe they had parents that said, no one cares about you. And guess what? People get saved with that thing so rings in their head. And when you come to them and you show them that you do care, they know that what the devil says is a lie. Compassion. We need to care and help others. But we can't live their lives for them. But let's ask an honest question. Let's ask an honest question tonight. Do we care about other people's problems? Not just say, oh, that's awful. And then we go on. Don't even pray about it. Don't ask any way I can help. Oh, that's just terrible. Oh, well, that's just awful. Or you pray once real quick so you can feel like a good Christian and then move on and forget all about it. Do we really care what people are going through? Do we care about other people's problems, or are we so consumed with our own? Do we care about other people's hurts? Oh, they just need to get over that. They're too sensitive. They shouldn't have taken it that way. And you can fill in the blank. You know where I'm going with that. Do you care that other people have hurt, that they got hurt? Now understand, no matter what you do, somebody's going to be hurt sometimes. They're going to have hurt feelings. Okay? The Bible also says not to be easily offended. Right? That's a sign of spiritual immaturity. But sometimes, baby Christians, sometimes people that aren't strong in the Lord, they get offended at things. Well, I don't care about that. That's a silly thing. Just because we don't care about it, maybe it's not something that we would be offended of. What we're saying, well, everybody needs to be like me, and that is pride. Need to care about other people's hurts. Do we care that someone else has fallen by the wayside? Do we care about that? Do we care that when we don't see somebody in church and we need to pray for them? Right? And what has happened to that person? But what can be the temptation is we can care so much about people. I'm sure somebody said something to them. I'm sure it's somebody's fault in this room that they're not here at church, right? It's somebody's fault. Someone said something stupid. Hold on, that's not a healthy way to think. It could be just that the devil's working on them. You know, we need to pray for them. Need to shoot them a text message. Need to send them a Facebook message. If you're still on there, send them something. Say, hey, I really missed you at church. We had a great time. How are you doing? You know, just that, how are you doing? Hey, they care about me. I'm going back to church this Sunday. I'm going to be there on Wednesday because they care about me. Something that simple. When they're having hurts, or maybe they're going through a crisis. I mean, maybe their loved one is in a hospital. And, you know, that's the terrible thing about this whole COVID thing, is you can't go visit people, really. That's the awful thing. I was thankful when Becky was having her surgery that they let me in there. I wasn't expecting that. And I said, praise the Lord. That's, you know, the nurse looked at me and she said, oh, sure, come right in. She wanted me there. I'm like, well, that's not everybody I've ever been. I was thankful for that. But, you know, when they're in the waiting room, do we sit and we pray with them? When they're going through a hard time, maybe they lost a loved one, do you go to their home, put your arm around them, and you cry with them? That's having compassion. That's having compassion. If you're going to go in the ministry, you need to have it. Amen. You need to have that. If we don't, then we're not fulfilling the law of Christ. Look at Matthew 22, verse 39. We know this verse by heart, but let's look at it in print. Matthew 22, verse 39. First commandment, thou shalt love the Lord thy God. Verse 37, thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and all thy mind. Verse 38, this is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. If we're going to fulfill the law of Christ and fulfill God, the royal command, then we need to have compassion on other people. If we don't have that burn or desire, then we need to ask for it. Lord, give me a burden for other people. Lord, give me compassion for other people. Lord, help me in this area. Tool number three. So first we have humility. Second, we have compassion. Third tonight is service. Service. Great. And my printer failed me. The second page of notes is missing. All right, here it is. This must be the important part. Amen. Give me a second. The cloud is coming to the rescue. Here we go. All right. All right, service. Let me ask you a question here. So verse number 2 of Galatians 6 says, bury one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. That is showing a bearing. That's work. It's not easy to bear the load for somebody else because we have our own load to bear. But to carry compassion is that feeling that leads us to action. But here's the action. Service. Now let me ask you a question. Do we desire to help those who need to be reconciled? Guess what? It takes effort. And by the way, reconciliation can take a long time. It can take work. It isn't just go show up at the door, hey, I want to reconcile this hurt that's 20 years old. It doesn't happen overnight. It can by the grace of God. But sometimes we go and we get all excited. We know what God can do. We know the power of God. And we go in there and it doesn't happen exactly the way we thought. And then, well, I guess it doesn't work. I guess I don't have the gift. No, it just means you need to take some more time. Need to keep praying for it. Some reconciliations take a lifetime. But people that were faithful and prayed and cared and strived, they saw those people reconciled to God. But do we care to take the time and the effort to do that? Many times, the best way to show that we care is through service during times of need. That is part of burden bearing. It could be cooking a meal when they're sick. You know what? Maybe, they don't come to church here anymore, or maybe they're estranged from a family member or something like that. Or they live locally, whatever the case may be. Maybe the people that have fallen by the wayside, but you hear that they're in need, that you hear that they're going through an issue, and then you call them up and say, hey, I was wondering, I'm so sorry, I'm praying for you. Could I bring you a meal? Oh, I thought that church didn't like me. I thought those people didn't like me. Sure, I'll check the food and make sure it's not poisoned before they bring it over. But, you know, doing that, and when they're in their time of need and offering those type of things begins to deprogram, especially if someone's been injured by a supposed injury. This helps undo what is going on in their thinking. It could be helping them move. Maybe, you know, they need to move, they need help, and they put a call out on Facebook, hey, anybody can help me move. It's like, hey, I'll come help you move. Pastor, is it really that simple? You'd be amazed how simple things and small things will make an impact over time. Letting them know you're praying for them. Maybe it could be helping fix their vehicle. It's interesting how you go down, maybe someone has needs to be reconciled, and you see him on the side of the road with a flat tire. And you're like, hey, and you know, God does that. And you pull up, hey, I want to be a help and a blessing to you. Doesn't matter what they've done, but you need to treat people with compassion. You can show that by helping them. Sometimes people, words don't mean a whole lot because they've been told all their life all kinds of words and nobody meant them. Actions speak louder than words. And when, maybe they grew up telling them that they loved them and cared about them, but all they ever experienced was being used and abused. And they never experienced true love. And they experienced the love of Christ, or the first time they've ever experienced any kind of true love in church, guess what? It scares people sometimes. They start coming and they start getting the true love, and I don't want to be hurt, and they disappear. And they get scared. Guess what? Actions speak louder than words. Prove to them, show them who you are. As the Bible says, that we'd be worthy of the vocation where we are called. Now, how do we show that? By serving and helping others. Let's ask a question. How can you serve someone today? By showing love. Opportunities are given through simple things. First tool is humility. Got to be humble enough to make the effort. But the question is this. What about people, you know, we go to them and they won't be reconciled? Well, let's deal with that in closing tonight. We should do our best to be reconciled to people. However, reconciliation sometimes is not possible. It is not possible. Not because you haven't opened the door, not because you haven't been humble, not because you haven't tried to show love, but because that other person or persons will not go through the door of reconciliation. The same way with salvation. There are people who have heard the gospel, people who have been to church or even grown up in church. It doesn't matter. They've heard the gospel. They understand it. They have known the love of God, yet they reject and say, I don't want it. And they go away and they die and go to hell because they don't want God. They don't want Jesus. They don't want reconciliation. For whatever reason, the devil's blinded their eyes. They have been deceived in their thinking. They desire their way of living, and they deny Christ. And God wants to be reconciled to them, but they don't desire that. The same thing goes, we can't reconcile everybody. Understand that. Just because someone will not doesn't mean you failed in trying. That is very, very, very difficult at times. That you see the direction someone's going, you see what's happening in their life, and you're trying to come alongside, you're trying to bear their burden, you're showing them love, and you're trying to reconcile them to God, and guess what? They're not having it. That's difficult. But it's not because God isn't showing them love and you're not showing them love. You need to pray for them. Don't give up on them. Just pray for them. There are times that people come back to church after someone has shown them love periodically for 6 months, a year, 2 years, sometimes even a decade, and they become reconciled to God. There have been people that have been reconciled in the last couple of years to the church and different things, and that took years and years of work and faithfulness and prayer, and God blessed it. Just because it doesn't happen like that doesn't mean you failed. Keep trying. Humility, compassion, and service. Really, not just keys to seeing people reconciled, but keys to serving God, period. If we do that, and we have that desire, and we have that burden and the leading from God, then we will see God do great work with our life. So tonight, do we have that desire? Do we have that humility? Do we have that compassion in our heart? Do we have that willingness to serve? If we do, God can use us to do something this year. Not only this year, but every year hereafter. But maybe, so, well, Pastor, my desire isn't there as strong as it needs to be. Will we ask for it from the Lord tonight? Will we say, Lord, I need that burden. I want that compassion. Lord, give me a burden for somebody that I know, somebody in the church, someone outside the church. Maybe it's a coworker. Maybe it's a friend. Maybe it's a neighbor that you've been praying for a long time, not only in reconciling people to God in the gospel. You know, some people we encounter that don't go to church anymore, and say, oh, I used to. You know, my next question is, what happened? What happened? And like, how did you know? I said, well, usually people that say, I used to go to church, something happened to them. Either someone died, or someone, they got offended at somebody at the church, or somebody at the church heard them, something happened, and they'll tell me the story. You know what? God can use us to reconcile those people, to first of all, the gospel of Jesus Christ to be saved, but also to reconcile maybe bitterness they hold in their heart of many, many years, that they can be restored to God. They realize, they say, well, I'm a Christian, but they're cut off from God in fellowship because of their bitterness and their anger and their whatever happened, maybe even bitterness and anger at God for what he allowed to happen to them is how they view it. Evil men do evil things. That's not God's fault. Guess what? Some people don't like that answer. It's because of sin that we have evil in the world, not God. But God is willing to heal. God is willing to restore. Whatever the case may be, maybe, and I, as I said, I have not covered every situation, every variable, but I've given you some keys and tools here. And I pray that God would help you to use them to reconcile people to himself. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you bless our invitation time this evening. Lord, I pray that you would use us in a special way. Lord, we all know people that are injured, maybe people that need to be reconciled in salvation. Maybe family members that need to be reconciled with one another. I could go through endless situations, dear Lord, but we all have burdens on our heart and know somebody that needs reconciliation. I pray, Lord, use us to be tools. If those people need to be reconciled to us because we have done something, Lord, I pray that we would go and get those things right. Even if it's a supposed injury, Lord, that we would lay those things aside and that we would just get right with them. Or maybe they have things that are odd against you, dear Lord, or your word. I don't know, but I pray that you would give us wisdom. Every situation is different, but Lord, I pray that you give us a burden to pray for them faithfully. And Lord, that you would show us and what we can do for you. I pray that you would guide and direct our time in this invitation. In Jesus' name, amen.